temperature of 86 degrees, a low temperature of 66 degrees.
Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Yes, that is I. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. As usual, we're going to have some fun to talk today's top exciting, interesting, and occasionally annoying technology topics. We're expecting my frequent commentator, Brandon Oak, to be calling in shortly. He's got some new devices and other stuff he'd like to go over with you and with me, so stay tuned for that. Always an interesting conversation. Please do chime in. I'm taking your phone calls live here in the studio at the Marion Center Mall. I would love to hear from you. We can talk about things I've discussed on previous shows, questions you have about the computer at your home or office, or maybe even in your vehicle. Maybe you don't agree with something I've said, or you'd like some more information. That's cool with me. Pick up the telephone, that cell phone, the rotary dial phone that your grandma gave you, or maybe even the VoIP internet-powered telecommunications device. It's all fine with me. The number here, give me a ring, 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. There's some updates I wanted to share with you from the world of social media. Instagram, on Tuesday, said it had passed a milestone. They now have more than 500 million members. And yes, I'll admit, earlier this year, I started using Instagram, and you can look me up as Adam the Computer and WWGH Guy. Please do follow me and look at my photos. They're always fun. 300 million of these 500 million users are on the site on a daily basis. Now, the Instagram community has become more global. Instagram has been acquired by Facebook. In fact, more than 80% of Instagram users live outside the United States. I was kind of surprised to see that. Now, Instagram's user base has more than doubled in 2 years, surging past their rival photo sharing site, Snapchat. The growth spurt comes at a time when Twitter growth appears to be stagnating as it struggles to find an economic model that will turn into long-term profitability. We'll have a Twitter update also during this show. It's the social media news, because social media is something we pretty much have in our minds and on our touchpads and in our pockets 24/7. According to Jan Dawson, we quote Jan regularly, he's at Jackdaw Research, and he said, Instagram's success versus the competition comes down to the simplicity of the site and the ability to draw in the users social media companies covet most. Instagram's premise is ultimately extremely simple, sharing pictures with optional filters. There's almost no learning curve. You pretty much click on the next button. I was kind of surprised when I started getting into Instagram earlier this year. Just click on the arrows. It gives you all kinds of filters, most of which I really don't like, but they can be sort of fun. At the same time, the app is very powerful, it's reliable. Mine has never crashed, so yes, it is programmed very well versus some of the other apps I use that do tend to crash, so I definitely give them credit for that. For the younger people out there, and that would leave me out, but if you are a teenager, as you probably know, it's become one of the top go-to apps for the, say, 12 to 20 age group. Young people are attracted to the site because it is a very powerful photo sharing app that does not require a lot of complicated steps to master. It's kind of complicated to say that word, but that's okay. It also has relaxed most of the restrictions imposed over the years while adding some powerful functionality. Jan Dawson said it's sort of like a visually focused version of Facebook with the same social structure but simpler, more focused forms of content. Instagram CEO Kevin Systrom and their technical lead Mike Krieger launched Instagram in 2010. Facebook acquired it for $1 billion in cash and stock in 2012. Facebook has managed to provide Instagram with some of the essential growth tools it needed, but in a lot of important ways, it allowed the company to find its own path forward without upsetting loyal members. Tim Mulligan, he's from Media Research, said, Instagram reaching 500 million is a combination of both being a visually focused social network and benefiting from the halo effect of being owned by Facebook and thereby being effectively integrated into the Facebook ecosystem. Instagram boosted the strength of Facebook's mobile photo sharing functionality. As you might expect, Facebook, with a lot of resources, a lot of smart people, and some very innovative ideas, took Instagram much further than might have been expected, but we would certainly expect that. I think I said expected too many times, but what do you expect? It's the morning. Anyway, back to the story. CEO Mark Zuckerberg, when he announced the acquisition, made a point of saying that Instagram users could continue to post on other social networks and keep their Instagram and Facebook followers separate if that's what they wanted to do. Instagram is taking advantage of its position as part of the larger Facebook ecosystem. That comes from Frost and Sullivan, Digital Media Practice Head, Mukul Krishna. It gives companies a great deal of leverage to convert their customer data into leverage with advertisers that want to reach their customers. He said they want to be sure they are reaching the right customer on the right platform with the right information at the right time. That's the kind of marketing nirvana they want to achieve. So good things happening over at Instagram, which is a division of Facebook. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, live at the Marion Center Mall with the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. You can listen online 24/7, 365, and on leap years like this year, 366, at WWGH1071.com. Beep, beep. Did I toot my own horn kind of early today? Well, that's okay, because I think I've done a fantastic job, a superb job with the website, because that's kind of my job here, in addition to hosting the Adam the Computer Guy radio show and a few other things. Anyway, what we've done since I joined the station back in January, we've greatly upgraded the ability to listen online, especially through your mobile device, your tablet or your smartphone or your not-so-smartphone. What I suggest, if you have an Android like myself, get the TuneIn app. It's free at the Google Play Store. It installs in a minute or so. And just search for WWGH. We are there. Bookmark the site. Make it a favorite. Click to listen anytime. In seconds, you'll be connected. So if you're not in the Marion area, even if you're in New Zealand, that's okay. You can still listen. And the station has great shows, so of course you want to listen, and you want to listen regularly. That's usually how I indulge in the station. So just a suggestion. You can also just click the Listen Now button, the little play triangle thingy, on both the mobile website and the desktop website. And this station's website, again, WWGH1071.com, looks good on your mobile device as well as on your nice desktop computer with the 26-inch monitor. kind of like what I have at the offices of the Adam the Computer Guy empire. Well, a very small empire, but that's okay. In addition, you can click to listen to archives of previous shows. So click on the show archives link. You can hear all of Charlie Evers' shows since mid-January. You can listen to Scott Spears and his celebrity interviews, interviews with local important people, and of course, our weekly shows that we offer. That's what I wanted to say. The Chat with Linda Sims, Over Coffee with Marge and Martha, The Sober Joe Show All About Recovery, of course, Heaven Express with Paul and Glenna Savage, much, much more. Check it out, WWGH1071.com. If you have a suggestion about the website or a question or even something you don't like, well, that's cool with me. I'd love to hear your opinion because we value those opinions here at the station. This is your radio station. Every listener counts. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. And, of course, right now, I am live in the studio taking your telephone calls. So we do offer free technical support. How often do you get that? And you know what? I've been working with computers since the mid-70s. So if your printer is not printing, your server is only serving you headaches, your monitor is only monitoring your frustration, or your dial-up modem is dialing something that it probably shouldn't be, or if you still have a dial-up modem, that's kind of cool because not a lot of people do, and I'd love to hear your little your reason why you still have a dial-up modem, because it might be an interesting reason. That's all fine with me. We have a plethora of topics that we can delve into. Number here is 740-383-9944. I would just love to hear from you. And again, Brandon should be calling in soon with some technology updates, opinions, and of course, wisecracks, and don't want to miss that. Always a fun conversation when he joins the show. I mentioned I had an update about Twitter. Yes, a sweet tweet, perhaps. On Tuesday, Twitter launched enhanced video services that will allow users to post longer videos, up to 140 seconds. It also announced a new platform for celebrities and public figures to share their stories. Jeremy Rischel, head of product development for creators, said, "Because sports, news, music, and other videos increasingly are the type of content that goes viral on Twitter, the company decided to expand content parameters." He said, "Video is becoming increasingly central to the real-time conversations happening on Twitter video. Tweets on Twitter have increased by over 50% since the beginning of 2015. Now, this 140-second runtime max is a large increase over the previous limit, which was 30 seconds. Select publishers will continue to be able to post videos of up to 10 minutes in length using Twitter's professional publisher tools. Now, longer videos will be permitted on Twitter-owned Vine as well. Small groups of creators soon will be able to add a video of up to 140 seconds to their Vine, which will turn the 6-second Vine into a trailer for a larger story. Vine will add a Watch More button to the lower right of Vines." That sounds quite fine. The longer form video creation is in beta, and the company has already been working with a group of creators to gain feedback on the experiment. Vine is exploring monetization opportunities with creators using Twitter's Amplify Open program. It's also working closely with Niche, which is open to any creator. Tim Mulligan, analyst at Media Research, said, "In 2016, no social network can thrive without video, which has become central to both how digital users interact with online content and also how super users and brands communicate optimally with their online audience. Jim McGregor from Tyrios Research, we quote him fairly frequently, in fact. He said, Twitter is trying to expand beyond its traditional market to compete with social media sites like Instagram, which just surpassed 500 million users, as we just reported. Instagram has a bit more flexibility, according to Jim McGregor. That strategy could pose an issue for Facebook in the long term. He said the real question is, what does Twitter want to be when it grows up? Does it want to be loyal to its faithful followers or become an all-in-one solution that eventually moves beyond its current limits, which it continues to test? Now, users will be able to share video on Twitter in three different ways. They can record, edit, and share videos using apps like Twitter for iPhone or Android and higher. Android OS 4.1, the current version is 6, so even an older Android phone or tablet would work. They can import video on an iPhone or iPad that has the Twitter app installed, or you can upload videos to the Twitter.com website. So, very versatile. You can now have videos up to 2 minutes 20 seconds on Twitter with many ways to upload them. I would love to hear what you think about this. Are you a Twitter video user or viewer? Do you like this idea, or maybe you don't? Do you have any comments, any problems with Twitter video? Give me a call right now. I'm here at the station live taking your telephone call, 740-383-9944. I would just love to hear from you. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and listen online 24/7 at WWGH1071.com. One of our frequent topics would be gadgets that seem very fancy, if not futuristic, and of course fun, but hopefully not too expensive. There is something out there called Plume. Plume, last week, introduced its self-optimizing Wi-Fi system for the home. Sounds pretty fun. Plume adapts in real life to the different network demands made by various devices and ensures that each gets the fastest possible speeds. So it optimizes your devices that use Wi-Fi, and sounds like a pretty cool device, if I should say so myself. The question is, does it work as well as they say? That's always the $128,000 question. The recommended setup is one pod per room and connecting space, like a hallway, plus any cable or DSL modem or any modem router combination. Users just download the Plume app on Android or iOS to activate the system. Users can work with their existing routers, but Plume recommends replacing them with its pods. They're $39 currently during the pre-sale. They'll be $49 at some time in the future. Another expert we quote pretty much every show, often multiple times, is Rob Enderle. And he said, right now, for many of us, the bottleneck is the network. He said, I'm changing out my cable modem for the second time in a month, but the promise is a threefold improvement in bandwidth for only a $10 increase in my monthly bill, so it's worth it. Now, I kind of wonder, as a geek, exactly how does Plume work? How do you optimize this Wi-Fi connection with a device that really isn't that expensive? Because it seems like companies have tried to do this, and I've yet to find any device that actually does anything more than add wires and add to your electric bill and add gadgets. Plume monitors Wi-Fi activity through its pods, which feed the data back to the Plume cloud. The cloud recognizes usage patterns on all devices and remembers the routine behavior of interfering Wi-Fi networks, for example, when a neighbor watches sports on a Sunday afternoon. The pods use the two common bands of Wi-Fi, 2.4 and 5 gigahertz, and algorithms in the Plume Cloud figure out which bands to use for each device to maximize data speeds. Mike Jude from Frost & Sullivan said, Plume isn't really doing away with a router. It's distributing the router functionality among many nodes that collaborate to provide connectivity. Then it capitalizes on the frequency, the 802.11n, to manage the channel assignments as devices traverse the network, using a certain amount of intermodal communication to make this go. That's very deep for 9:30 in the morning. You can do the same thing over conventional Wi-Fi using Wi-Fi extenders, and that's kind of what people normally have and what I normally recommend, but I think I might be starting to recommend this device. But the hopping, when you use the Wi-Fi extender, is left to the wireless device to figure out. So Plume, if it sounds like a cell network, that's essentially what it is. It's a smart, smart logistics, out of lack of a better term, where it determines how to distribute the signal, how to hop, not just random hopping, which is more like what you get with an extender. So Plume is treating Wi-Fi as a cellular network, where each pod is kind of like a mini cell site, and that's what's clever about it. And I think for that price, if I often have my clients complaining, well, my internet is good in my bedroom and living room, but not in the garage or on the patio. Well, we'll try a Plume and we'll see what happens with this kind of a pricing system. And the fact that it pretty much sets up itself, it is certainly worth giving it the old college try. Now, placing multiple Wi-Fi routers around a house, which are attached to the primary router, achieves better coverage and bandwidth, but it's expensive. Rob Enderle quotes that from his own experience, and yes, the routers are expensive. There's more setup. A $39, $49 Plume sounds like a pretty good deal to me. It appears to use the same approach, but with a set of access points designed to work together, making setup easier and cost lower. It has a built-in class of service parameters, which means things that need priority will likely get it. So if we need more bandwidth for your smart TV where you're watching Netflix or Hulu, and less for your tablet where you're only checking your email, or maybe just listening to the radio station, how about that? It distributes the bandwidth appropriately so the devices get the amount of bandwidth that would be necessary, but not too much. So again, it works on being more efficient. Again, how the company claims the product works and what it actually does. Also, it would depend, I think, upon your provider, how reliable is your broadband access, and even the topography of the house, even the humidity, the temperature, the conditions. There are many, many factors, but it sounds very promising. Mike Jude said, year over year, we see an increasing number of mobile data devices in the home, so as everything connects, the traditional home router starts to get a little anxious. And you bring over 10 of your friends with their smartphone and doing their Facebook updates and Instagram photos, this will let the bandwidth get distributed in a rather intelligent fashion. Consumers who have a lot of connected devices in many rooms would benefit from something like this. And as smart homes become more common, this would provide a flexible platform on which to build smart home functionality. Plume's solution, according to Rob Enderle, would be a lot less expensive than the current system that he uses at his own home. See, even computer techs have issues with their equipment, and often, and I kind of feel the same way that Rob Enderle does, my own experience has helped me help my clients with their issues. Anyway, Rob Enderle currently has a $400 primary router with three satellite routers costing $300 apiece. But with the Plume, he could do much more much less greenbacks. He said the advantage of Plume's offering is that it's fast, relatively inexpensive, and solves what likely is the biggest problem in the home, coverage. The disadvantage is that it doesn't include some of the latest technologies, which come at a vastly higher price. In the end, what Plume may be good enough for most, and at a price that's relatively affordable. And of course, also depends on how well it's marketed. Often little companies like this don't survive because they're too different, and they can't get the word out. So we'll see exactly how this Plume gadget shapes up. I think I should go ahead and purchase one and for my house and maybe try the Wi-Fi access outside in the backyard. And then I might be able to use that strategy next time a client calls me with an issue related to the quality and consistency of their Wi-Fi signal inside their home or office. I find this device rather innovative, to say the least. Hey, it's about 41 minutes after 9 in the AM on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with me, Adam Lepp. Good morning. So glad to have you with us. We are talking today's top technology topics. Taking your phone calls, answering questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, all that good stuff. I would love to hear from you. Pick up your phone, your cell phone, your old-fashioned bag phone. Remember those from the late 80s? I used to have one. Oh, yeah, they were fun. Kind of heavy, though. They doubled as kind of like a weightlifting device. Or maybe your VoIP, or even you can call through Skype. You can also send me a message on Facebook. I'd love to be your friend, and we can actually talk about stuff during the show or not during the show via Facebook Messenger. Look up Adam Lepp or Adam the Computer Guy. Add me as a friend. I'm a pretty friendly guy. Would love to connect with you on social media. Coming up after me, it's the 10 o'clock features. News, some messages from our valued sponsors, promos and teasers for previous and upcoming shows, sports with Jared, weather, and always a few surprises. And then following that, it's our local radio legend, a man who's been in broadcasting in Mid-Ohio for over 60 years, Mr. Charlie Evers. There's a man with a wealth of stories, of course, a lot of wisecracks, and he takes your telephone calls live at 740-383-9944. And then after the noon features, it is Mr. Scott Spears, our program manager and radio show host with the program called Now. Plethora of topics, everything from politics to current events in Marion and other places. Opinions, news, and views. Again, he takes your phone calls live in the studio. Scott often has celebrity guests, local dignitaries, and who knows what else. Don't want to miss that show. And if you do happen to miss the show, that'll happen. Just go to our website, WWGH1071.com. Under show archives, you can listen to pretty much every show we've aired since the beginning of January 2016. Because that's the kind of station we are. We care about you. And if you have a question about the website, again, I'd love to hear what you have to say. We value your opinions, and I've had a couple suggestions already. Keep them coming. Adam at WWGH1071.com. We have discussed the headphone jack in the iPhone 7 and that Apple would like to retire it in favor of other ways of connecting to the device. I don't really agree with this decision, but it's news, so we're going to talk about it. The rumor that Apple will retire the headphone jack in the iPhone 7 resurfaced on Tuesday with an article in the Wall Street Journal, which cited people familiar with the matter. Apple is expected to launch this new iPhone later this year. So a lot of let's say, trepidation, people wondering about some of these changes. The iPhone's Lightning connector will do double duty as its charging port and headphone connector, according to the Wall Street Journal. The result will be a thinner device with better water resistance. If the rumor is true, The move is in terms of timing, said Jeff Orr, a senior practice director at ABI Research. He said it comes at a time when Apple needs to demonstrate it's still an innovator, unlike the competition where there's a lot of iterations on devices. He said, I was hoping to see an audio solution, and part of that was the idea of removing the headphone jack. So some changes and things that may or may not happen with this upcoming new and exciting iPhone 7. It will also have a redesigned antenna and possibly will come in deep blue instead of gray. It'll have a dual camera sensor, a first for the iPhone, with storage up to 256 gigabytes. OMG, that's quite a lot of space. Removing the headphone jack would be a great opportunity for Apple to tie together all of its audio experiences, including the Beats headphones, Apple Music, its services, devices, content, and content delivery system. And that is according to Jeff Orr from ABI Research. The lack of a headphone jack creates talk and demand for creating solutions that are a better fit. Brent Iadarola from Frost & Sullivan said the move would create first-mover opportunities for Beats Electronics to align products with the redesign, as they will clearly have in fleece. In the short term, consumers who already have invested in wired headphones for their iPhones could be annoyed. That comes from Brent Iadarola, again from Frost & Sullivan. Kind of like that name. It rolls off the tongue really well. Iadarola. Well, I, as an Adam, agree with him. Also, charging wireless headphones could be cumbersome. And of course, they always seem to run out of juice at the worst possible time. However, it would not be surprising to see Apple remove the headphone plug in the iPhone 7, he said. The longer-term trend is that consumers are increasingly migrating toward wireless headphones, so while it may anger some of the more traditional consumers and certain headphone manufacturers, the move caters to tech-savvy millennials who tend to represent a significant percentage of the Apple installed base. We have a telephone call. Always like it when people participate in the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
Hi there.
Hi, David. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, we're doing fairly fantastical for a slightly soggy summer morning.
How did you know it was me?
We have something called caller ID. In addition to a lot of tricks of the trade here in the radio business, radio is kind of cool because between the technology and the things that I did when I started dabbling and broadcasting at my college station back in, yes, don't gasp, 1981, so many cool things go on behind the scenes, not to mention the music and the talk and the news and the weather and all the fun things we do on the air. So that's kind of why I find myself getting back into the radio fold rapidly and becoming more addicted to it by the minute, but it's a good addiction, so I'm not complaining whatsoever. Now, you listen, you live in the North Columbus area, I do believe, David, and you listen online, correct, at our website?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's good to hear. What do you think about WWGH? Don't we have some of the best shows around?
I don't really listen to you guys too much.
But you do listen to the Adam the Computer Guy show, right?
I try to when I can. I wanted to find out if you know how I could get my hands on a Wacom Cintiq tablet.
Probably not, but what I would suggest you do, like with any device that you probably can't find locally or don't know anybody selling one, just go to Amazon and just search for the device, and I'm sure that there should be some available. As I pretty much find that Amazon, you can buy almost anything, and it's kind of a competitive pricing scheme. Competitive pricing system. That's much better. Where vendors are competing for the best deals, also not just the price itself, but the shipping, the length of time it takes to get the item, and more than likely you can find a good deal. And if you, once you're satisfied with the place that you purchased the item from, you can come back there to buy more products. So it's a good way to establish a vendor and customer relationship. What's the name of the device again, David? The Wacom what?
Well, I'm looking. It's called a Cintiq. You draw directly onto the pad instead of having like a grid. I'm an aspiring graphic artist, and I want to make graphic art in Photoshop, and I actually have been looking into those different resources. There's A grades and there are B grades and C grades for used tablets. The one that I want sells at retail for over $2,000, and I actually did find one on eBay. It was a Class A tablet for like $500, and people were bidding on it. You could either purchase it for $950, or you could start the bidding at $500. And I did have I didn't have the money, of course. And I asked a friend if they could help me get it, and because it was like only 3 days to bid on it, they weren't able to help. So, pretty much all I can do at this point is just save up around close to that amount, and then get back on there and see what type of deals I can find. I just didn't know if you had any other type of resources where I could obtain something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, David, my resources really aren't much different from yours. Now, I've been known to be a good bargain hunter, and people often ask me, well, how do I get this device? Do you have any available? I say, well, I can go shop locally or look online. Again, look at Amazon or eBay or Tiger Direct, etc., and do my best to find a attractive deal for you. And especially if it's a vendor that I'm familiar with that I know will conduct business in an ethical and efficient fashion. But that's really the best I can do. But, you know, having a trained hand or trained brain, I would say in my case, is invaluable, because I kind of get a sense of where I think would be the best place to purchase one of these items. And I guess there's good news and bad news, David. I mean, that's kind of the good news. The bad news is that this device is not cheap, but it's very powerful, and I think it's worth it, especially with what your aspirations are. Looking on Amazon, there are multiple places selling it, but the price for a new one is in the upper teens, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have a problem with using a refurbished one or a used one. It just depends on the class, the grade of tablet, or the grade of the screen that I would be using. I saw like a Class C screen or a grade C, and it had like a lot of scratches on it, and I don't want to, you know, I'd rather, because that can affect the way the pictures look when you...
And this one, the 21-inch pen display tablet, this one says like new. And again, like new is kind of a relative term. It kind of depends upon what person thinks is like new.
What's the price you see on there?
With shipping, about $840 with shipping. So
yeah, see, that's more within my price range.
What I would suggest you do, David, again, with an investment of this amount, you do want to take it seriously. I agree. You know, as I talk about, radio people don't make a lot of money, contrary to popular belief. I don't do this job because it makes me rich and I can afford a Ferrari. I do it because I love it, and I also enjoy sharing my knowledge with people. But anyway, what I would do is contact the seller, David, and ask... ask him to send you a photo or even a video of the device. Tell him you'd like to buy it. It was recommended to you by a radio host, local, who's a bit of an expert in these kind of things. And see if he can send you a photo and tell him exactly, are there any defects? Does it work like a new one? You don't care if it's used. Again, like computers in general, many used computers are better than new ones because they've already been cleaned up, they've been dusted, they've had the unnecessary software removed, and you get a pretty good deal. And this is a very good price. I'm seeing that under $1,000.
Yeah.
New one is a bargain, as I would say. So I would go ahead and contact this seller, ask for photos and an honest assessment of the condition of the device, and kind of kind of go from there. It's not obvious where this person lives. If it's anywhere near here, I would say even go up there and look at it in person first. But if he's in California, that wouldn't be possible. But you may want to ask that also. And those are the kind of things I do when I've bought from Amazon. And honestly, David, I've used Amazon off and on for 10 years. I've never had a bad experience. I love Amazon. And I think this is probably the best way to go.
So you don't have anything against refurbished software then?
Well, refurbished hardware. No.
Or hardware.
None whatsoever. In fact, they often recommend it because the price is right, but it kind of takes a bit of an instinct, which I like to think I've gained from being around computers since the mid-70s, to know if something is a good deal and worth it. You may not know as much about the seller on Amazon as you would from a local store or a large company like Tiger Direct, so communicate with the person. If he's cool about it, that's an indication that you are getting a truthful answer and very, very well might be getting a good deal. And let me know what happens. I mean, hopefully I've given you good advice. Even I make mistakes, as hard as that might be to envision, but I certainly try to give the best advice that I can. And we appreciate you listening, David. I do encourage you to listen to the other shows on this station. Scott, okay. Our program manager, who's on noon to 2 today, for example, often has celebrity guests. He's spoken with Ed Asner, you know, star of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He was on Roots. Dr. Ruth, one of my favorite radio talk show hosts. Dear Abby, Heloise, Pat Carroll, an actress who's been around even longer than I have, if that's possible, and many, many more. Good show. Good shows here on Marion's Talking Place. Have a great day, David. Thanks for calling, and call again soon.
Okay, thanks. You too.
You're very welcome, sir. Adam the Computer Guy here with my twice weekly radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Did mention about the website, WWGH1071.com, and I do encourage you to view that website and look at the show archives. As I said, our program manager and show host, Mr. Scott Spears, has a penchant for speaking with celebrities, even people that I am definitely a major fan of, Heloise, Dear Abby, Ed Asner, Pat Carroll, Hal Linden, much, much more, Robert Guillaume, and even Mrs. Garrett, Charlotte Ray. That was a really good interview that he did about a month ago. Do want to check it out under the show archives, or specifically the Now with Scott Spears section. It is well worth listening to. Make the coffee or your other favorite beverage. I can assure you, you will not be disappointed. Coming up after me and the 10 o'clock features, it is our local legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. There's a man with a plethora of fun topics, not one to shy away from a wise crack, and sometimes even has callers and special guests joining the show. Definitely don't want to miss it. We've talked about passwords and authentication and making sure that your online experience is safe and secure and private. Last Monday, Google began rolling out a new two-step authentication feature called Google Prompt, and it targets enterprise employees. The new option consists of a pop-up that displays a mobile user's name and profile image, and that specifies the location and device involved in the attempted sign-in. The device owner is asked whether to allow or deny the sign-in. Enterprise end users still have other choices for two-step authentication. They can use a Google security key or enter a verification code sent to their phone. Travis Smith from Tripwire said, "Implemented correctly, two-step authentication is an improvement over traditional password-based authentication. Moving to the Google prompt mechanism is a step to make sure that two-step authentication is easy to implement for end users. Instead of having to copy a six-digit code from one device or app to another, they can hit a single button when prompted. Google will update its help center with detailed instructions on how to implement its latest two-step authentication feature." Google Prompt is available for Android and iOS for Apple Mobile Android users have to update Google Play services to use Google Prompt, while iOS users have to install Google Search on their devices first. So some good steps in the security area taken by Google. And I'd love to hear your experiences with authentication and passwords. Do you think it's worth having to do this two-step process because security is important, or is it not necessary? I'd love to hear your opinion. The show today is coming to a conclusion in about 15 seconds, but I'll be back Tuesday and Thursday of next week at about 12 minutes after 9 in the a.m., and you can always email me. I'd love to hear from you. 24/7, pick up the touchpad device or keyboard, adam@wwgh1071.com. Have a great day. Charlie Evers is next.